from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Tuesday to everybody. I hope your routine is going smoothly on this Tuesday. I am here with my partner, John Martin, and our executive producer, Brad Carson, slash boss. He is also program director extraordinaire around here. So we are fully staffed on a Tuesday. And I'm not going to lie to you and say there's just a ton of Memphis sports to talk about. Now, we do have Memphis football getting ready, and I was trying to pep John up about that as we get ready for preseason practice. You know, it's a little bit of a grind right now, but as you know, it's time to pounce. And on August 31st, the Tigers will do that. So there's always college football to look forward to. And, of course, we got the AP ranking yesterday on Memphis. There were a few. Did you see Steven Johnson? AP poll voter.
Okay.
He had Memphis in.
Oh, he's,
remember him?
Former
Memphis
Tiger football beat writer.
Football. That's why I stopped.
Yeah,
former Tiger basketball beat writer
to cover TCU,
who's now in Dallas covering TCU. He repped for Memphis.
Yeah,
he repped for Memphis, and that was good. But certainly, Memphis not among the ranked, and we're not even the highest ranked Group of Five team in the Associated Press poll. We'll talk some Memphis preseason because, of course, you got the SP Plus final preseason rankings out today. All eyes on where that Memphis football defense will end up ranking. Obviously, preseason rankings don't matter, as Ryan Silverfield tells you, John. But I'm telling you what, it's a starting point. It's not a good one. The only way to go is up. We've talked about the pressure that's on that defense. That's got Hard Knocks tonight. That's exciting for me.
Okay.
I would imagine exciting for all NFL fans. But as you see, it's not just talk. And I'm talking to Brad Carson right here. It's not just talk about Caleb Williams when you see him out there slanging that thing like he did against Buffalo in the first preseason game for him. You hear him breathing over there?
He's breathing.
And that's why I directed it straight
he's
at him.
He's barely breathing.
Now, I think I've stopped the hater here for now across the plastic from me and John.
Well said.
But, Brad, I can still feel the heat.
Brad is barely breathing.
The heat of hate. The
Make
heat of
room
hate.
For another day.
Speaking of hate, well, this is different. David Aldridge, hater. That's all I'm going to say on it. John will talk more on that later. Just want to put that out there. David Aldridge, used to love him. Now I hate him.
Well said.
We'll talk about why.
You live long enough, you see yourself become the villain. That's right. You die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Folks you love, you end up hating.
Mm-hmm.
Hate's a strong word. Y'all know I hate that, man. I disagree vehemently
Yeah.
So with something he wrote.
So we'll discuss that. today here on the show. I had a meet the teacher today with Riley.
Oh,
nothing like spectacular or anything like that. But that's what I did.
Did you have anything for the teacher in terms of, I want you to know this about Riley?
No, I just said, you're not going to have to wonder where she is in the classroom, because she was like, where is she? I'm like, this will be the only time, that'll be the first and last time you have to ask that question, because she will make her presence felt in this room. Make no mistake about it. So,
Can I say something about Riley?
Sure.
I've texted to you, so it's, sometimes we do this behind
right
the scenes.
When off the air, yeah.
Just her, how she was with Chris.
Yes.
Was at John's house for the fight. Riley was up there with us.
Yes.
She's a trooper. How old now? Three? Four? Three?
She's three, yeah.
Three. We'll be four next March.
That's right.
When she offered Chris a napkin and then later asked, would you like to go downstairs and watch Inside Out? Inside Out 1, which I'm assuming is very popular at your home.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. I about lost it.
What was so what was so special?
Because again, you have to remember, I've only seen Riley when she's running away from me crying.
That's right.
Right. There's no need to communicate with me, your partner.
Yeah.
Why? She's got daddy, or you're locking her in here. That's not great for kids.
That's
like
right.
Like you did when you came a surprise visit during paternity. Remember that day?
Yes.
So I haven't done much interacting, or more importantly, seen Riley's personality come out.
Right.
But as I told you coming over, perhaps Chris would unlock that.
Yeah.
And I think having somebody a little closer to her size.
For sure.
Is what sort of put I'm not a distraction anymore. And she opened up in a way that I had not seen her. And so from there, she stole my heart.
Yeah, she would not have been up there if not for Chris. There's no question.
Yeah, you told me. Usually she'd go downstairs with mommy.
Yeah.
She told mommy, no. Not tonight. You said that was unusual.
No, she had a friend.
Right.
She had a friend
on
Saturday. And it was funny.
What great fun seeing our children interact.
She asked me every day. Every day now, she says, Daddy friend? Where daddy friend? You know, and I'm like, they're not coming over today, Riley.
We tried to get names that night, so she's still, we're just friends.
I said last night, what were daddy's friends' names, right? And she goes, Chris? She'd remember Chris.
She did.
That's all she had,
She hugged him.
That was her friend.
Before we left. He was still upstairs.
I regret that I didn't get the picture, but they were sharing a computer chair.
Most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It was like a little sister for Chris.
No,
it was amazing.
He did a great job. At, you know, what's he, 10, 11?
He's 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, that could have been really, like, Dad, come on, man. Like, I didn't come over here to, but he babysat. And I did compensate him first time.
You really did.
So, you know.
And he mentioned that later.
Yeah.
He said, this was my payment.
That's exactly right. I didn't know that's how it was going to turn out. Yeah. But, you know.
You were very generous.
It was great the way it worked out, because I gave him the compensation prior to the work that was done.
Yes.
That was not the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But he really couldn't say anything while the work had to get done.
Right.
Because he had already been paid.
You're right.
So
absolutely. If he wanted to leave with it.
It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect.
Worked out great. I appreciate you having us.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. I appreciate the nice words. And as I said to you also, I mean, again, a 10-year-old who's sitting there entertaining my 3-year-old, that is not normal.
Well,
very, very, very well-mannered young man you
have
there.
I appreciate it, brother.
So, it's all you can hope is that, you know, our kids are a little different in age. I mean, 7 years is a pretty big gap. But all you can hope is that, you know, you have good babies and, you know, they're, you know, productive members of society and that they're nice to people, you know, at the end of the day.
You got that happening, I told you.
And likewise. So, anyway, got a lot to get to on the show today. Jessica Benson is going to join us at 11:25, and we'll talk to her now that the Olympics are complete, get her Olympic recap all together. And then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins will join us. Usually he's on Thursdays. We're moving him up.
I mean, we're just copying what he does with fish, basically.
Right. We're exactly.
We see success.
Yes.
And we try to emulate it.
I want to use the term Joe Theismann used with us yesterday. We're going to audibilize this.
I don't think you didn't catch it. No, I didn't. That one didn't stand out. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, that's
audibilize.
I expected you to make the word with your mouth, because audibilize. But yes, audibilize.
I was too stuck on him saying Dak ain't gonna get 60.
Yeah. What did
he say? Dak gonna get 55? I'm sorry.
No, Joe said that the touchdown, not the touchdown throw, but the big throw was audibilized. So we're gonna audibilize. And Jeff's going to join us today at 125. So,
is that not a word?
I've never heard it. I mean, it could be.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, have you ever heard that word, though?
Yes.
Okay, I don't think I've ever heard that word. I've heard audible. Like, I've heard somebody call an audible, but I've never heard the active use. Like, oh, I'm going to audibleize this. You know, I've just never heard it in that context.
Clearly, his vocabulary is just
stunning,
more wide-ranging than yours.
Notre Dame.
Yes, exactly.
That's just that Notre Dame
education.
I'm
surprised that you are surprised by Joe's vocabulary.
You underestimated
him.
I had never heard the word.
Remember, also, Distinguished Citizen Award winner
of the
Liberty Bowl.
That's right.
Most recent award winner.
No question. So, anyway, we'll audibleize and have Jeff at 125 today. But a few things to touch on. Let's do a little Tuesday over-under.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Under.
We're going to audibleize here. We got three or four items to analyze. Whether it goes over the number that our linesmiths have set or under the number that our linesmiths have set. First, the naked Liberty Bowl is where we start. The one that they're ripping apart at the seams.
Y'all are going to scare people from going over there.
There's holes in it.
That was funny, though. Go ahead.
We're in a cycle where we're waiting on football. We have Hard Knocks tonight, as Jason has so well, put that out there.
We in the Liberty Hole.
So we're analyzing the Liberty Hole. We've got two holes on either side, and we're waiting for the centerpiece to come down.
That's right.
Memphis attendance for the first game. After we put some tarps on it, we make it look pretty for the 35 or so thousand.
That's just a guess.
I would like to know what they do with that.
You have to tarp
again,
it.
You're going to have to keep people away from that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. You tarp
because
it.
Because it's two portions that are missing.
And it does become a liability.
1,000%.
And you make it look pretty. You pretty it up.
They do serve alcohol at the game.
And we're big on tarps here.
Yeah,
we know how to cover it up.
You probably clean up the rubble so there won't be rubble piles. You know, you get clean piles like excavators will come in with their track hose. They'll clean that up. You'll tarp it. It'll look nice, and you'll just have some gaping holes. Let's start with the attendance for that opener for Memphis. And let me look on the time to pounce schedule here. We are opening with the great North Alabama.
Yep.
Memphis attendance for that game against North Alabama. Number set here, 28,000.
Over. Under.
28,000, August 31st, right?
That's it.
Who set this number?
I said it.
I thought you the odds maker around here.
Well, what would you set the number at?
22.5.
Okay. Ooh. Maybe I came in a tad high. Maybe it's sharp.
That's damn near full what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, okay, what was the opener last year? Let's look at the opener last year. Well,
that's always a good exercise.
Good place to start.
I mean, would you guess it was over 22 but under 28?
Yes.
So somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look.
If it was 22.
Oh, come on.
I can't remember who the opener was.
It was somebody lame, Bethune-Cookman.
Ooh,
all right, let's see. Now that's a terrible. I mean,
now this is going to be announced.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Attendance.
It might be 28.
Let me see. They usually okay. So bang.
I can tell by the way he's smiling.
He's excited.
29,000.
No, it was 26.6.
Okay, it was in between.
Yeah, it was 26.6 with a lean closer to 28. So I think maybe we could have put this at 26.5. 25.5, maybe had a little more sharp number there.
That's fair.
But let's just keep 28. Let's just say it's anticipated as opposed to last season not being nearly as anticipated as this one. I mean, this one, and we'll get to, you have playoff hopes. You have conference champion hopes. Can that equate to 2,000 more people is the question.
2,000 more announced.
2,000 more announced? Damn right. We're going to go to Kroger.
Clearly it will be.
We're going to go to Robilio's.
I don't know. We're
going to go to Piggly Wiggly.
One thing I will say is that Justin
Skateland.
Pointed out, like, he doesn't feel like, and I'm assuming that's because, you know, you guys have been in contact with some folks, but that there's this surge to the ticket booth, that there's been this surge to go with. And one thing you've noticed, too, and I'm sure you have as fans, is that there have been a lot of package offers in terms of, you know, I can't name them all, but I've seen them come down. So what that tells me is they're trying to get as creative as possible because they want the demand to go up, and that's not where they want it to be. And I just know this about Memphis football in particular. You can sort of set basketball aside. We are sort of wait and see. You know, we have been for a while. We talked about that, how the buildup in the preseason of Memphis basketball, Memphis football, they don't compare because it's just sort of how we're programmed. We're programmed to buy more into preseason rankings for basketball. We're, you know, this is something we're not necessarily, it's not custom around here. We've done it before, but this is certainly a time where you're back. And no, man, I could just see a sort of a walk up to, you know, August 31st where it's a slow buildup. And again, not to hate, I would love to see the place full. What'd you say yesterday? It's going to see 32.
Yep.
With the, you know, in this, I would love to see it over 28. That's darn near capacity. But I'm going to go under just because I just think that's typically how we start. And then hopefully you'll have again the buildup opportunity. You beat Troy the next week, play well against Florida State. Hopefully that thing is filling up as you go.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm going to go over.
Yeah,
I mean, why not?
You know, again, were there 26,000 people there? I mean,
Bethune-Cookman, there's no way.
It was an AI crowd. It was a crowd.
I'm giving you that we're going announced
that
here,
was so. Made bigger with AI, like Kamala's. It was just like that, not a lot, but a little. And so I think there will be 2,000 more NPCs that they find a way to announce on the 31st. Yes, I do believe that. But I think it'll be closer to actual. Now, will I be one of them? Probably not. It's going to be too hot.
We got time on that one.
We got Troy September 7th.
Yeah, Troy September 7th. Actually, a Troy team that's supposed to be, even though they're going to undergoing a coaching change, supposed to be still be pretty good.
You're right. Yeah. Navy is Navy home or road?
Navy is at Navy.
Okay. And then
home or the blue, John, if it sticks out for you from across the way. Really, it's hard to see.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so Middle Tennessee is
so
back home.
I think there's a good chance as a fan, MTSU might be my first one because it'll be obviously getting a little cooler.
You're banking on 3-1 coming into that September 28th
certainly.
Game against MTSU is what you're banking on with a loss to Florida State.
I think Troy is a maybe. I would say it's a maybe, depending. But I know it's going to be hot as hell on September the 7th still. I mean, it just is. You know, definitely when you get into the months of October, like North Texas, October 19th. What else we got after that? Is there another one in October? I can't see.
Yeah, Charlotte, October 26th.
Yeah,
that next week.
I think I could go, you know, both games there. I think I could go to, I'm doing this as a fan here, right? I made 3 or 4 last year, and I greatly enjoy it.
How many of those, any of those Fridays? I'm assuming at least
Yeah, there's
one,
a Friday yeah, game in there somewhere.
Those, yeah.
There is. I know for a fact there is. And I like those. I like the Friday games.
Then you got Rice and UAB at home in terms of the home schedule. Those are in November.
I'll make a couple of those.
Then a tough one at Tulane to finish out the regular season.
I'd say I'm questionable for Troy with a lean toward doubtful. I'd say I'm probable for MTSU on the 28th.
And so you're not going, but you think it's going to be over to the first game against North Alabama.
Yeah, I'm out on the first game. I'm definitely listed as out.
Okay.
I think you are too.
I'm out still TBD.
It's just going to be too hot. I mean, I'm not trying to. People go if you that's your thing. It's just like for me with kids, it's too hot. It's going to be too hot.
6 o'clock game is when it's a 6 o'clock kickoff against an opponent that just became an FCS opponent.
Oh, it'll be hot.
It's a bye game.
Right. So I ain't gonna sit up here and tell you.
It's not 11 a.m. though.
At least the sun will be going down.
Yeah, sometimes those games are like 11 a.m.
You're cooking in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, of the two, I'd rather have it at 6 at that time of year.
That's true.
Yeah,
there's a chance then. There's a chance it's not. I would say maybe I'm questionable then.
Yeah.
I'll go questionable.
I'm TBD. Optimistic. I could
but
be there.
But part of me kind of wants to let them, like, get the, like logistics down to, like, the, you know, first and then come in later. After
I'm going under on this.
After
I'm going under,
yeah,
yes.
I think
but
we're all under.
I may show up. John is a.
So two unders, and I'll say over two unders here. I just think the anticipation will equate to more, but we shall see.
All right, let's go to the percent chance for the Memphis Tigers to win the American. The lines man over here has set it at 33.6%. Seems low. Over, under.
Over, under.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily me that set that number. It was ESPN's, what is it?
When they're predictors?
SP Plus.
SP Plus.
Oh.
They had their rankings, their official final preseason ratings come out. For all 134 teams. And Memphis, when you just sort of take into their S plus, S&P plus, SP plus.
The S&P.
SP plus.
Yeah.
S-P-Puss.
This is my...
Yes, I hate it.
Bart Torvik.
I hate it. It's hard to say.
I'm just saying, but you have to respect it.
No, I do respect it.
Because this is what we're using for efficiency on college football. And I respect now Torvik.
I love ratings.
Okay.
I love ratings. I'm all about it.
I know why you're saying S&P.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to work. SP plus.
I'm just going to start calling these the Standard and Poor's college football ratings. But if you're using those for every team in the league, it comes out to Memphis having a 33.6 rounded up 34% chance to win the conference, with UTSA at 20%. Now,
what's weird is the FBI computers had UTSA running the table.
Yes.
And that's why Heather Dinich had UTSA as her pick.
But we said we don't agree with that.
Well, yes, of course we said that.
But
the issue is that
the FBI is worse than SP Plus to me. I mean,
I don't put any extra stock in FPI.
Because ESPN's, like they did, remember they had their, they gave the Celtics a 98.6% chance of beating the Heat last year. Not this year, but last year.
Yeah.
I mean, 98.6%, and it was, they were up 3-0. So, that was ridiculous. That was wrong. So I don't put as much stock into that as I do the SP Plus. And so 34%, I mean.
Does that factor in, though? The fact that, I want to make sure I have this correct, this because it's big. Mm-hmm. UTSA and Tulane don't play.
Yeah,
have to play both.
I think it factors all of that in. I do.
Because that's what helped
UTSA
get spit out of the FPI as the AAC favorite.
Yeah, because it says...
The fact that they have an easier conference schedule and an easier road to
Memphis. Memphis has to play,
all of them on the road.
So it does say that in the
blurb. It's a huge break for UTSA.
That's why Memphis is low. Right, I mean, 34%. They probably should be 50%
with what's back,
but they're lower because they have to play UTSA and Tulane.
Okay,
and UTSA does not.
So, what's the number we're saying? Should it be higher?
33.6%. I'm going to say it should be higher.
I'm just going to go higher. Just because we're banking on it.
I mean, I think 40%, 45%. I still believe that. I mean, I'm low on UTSA, as you know. We got into a big fight over who's going to be favored by one or not. So I'm lower on UTSA.
Do you know the other huge thing they're benefiting from? I know I keep mentioning in terms of NIL, and you can't use it as sort of the excuse anymore because they could pay and they had more than you. But SMU is highly ranked.
Yes.
In these SP Plus rankings, going over obviously to the ACC at number 27. If they were still in, they would be likely the preseason favorite over Memphis, just based on the SP Plus rankings, based on what they're expected to be now moving to the ACC, they would still be. So this, I'm just adding it to the list of things that have lined up here for this to finally be the year for Memphis. Why it's the first time you're picked, preseason favorite. There is no excuse anymore. Is my point here. And with a good SMU team out there, there really isn't anymore. Especially with all the change, the rest of the change in the conference. You're who's had the least change. And you can argue you've added a ton and, added more or as much as anybody in the transfer portal with what you've been able to pull in. So I would go over 33%. We're banking on an AAC championship around here.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say definitely over for sure.
Got to win on the road, though. That's going to be the key.
Yeah. All right, so let's go over there. We both agree. We got time for one more.
It's over, yeah. Let's go to Russian-American coach of the Las Vegas Aces. You'll have to fill me in on what's happening here with Becky Hammond. Weeks before Becky Hammond gets fired, what's the story? 2.5 is what our linesmith have said here. Is she getting fired for what?
All right, so I thought we'd have time. We actually don't. We're going to have to save that one because it is a doozy. It's quite a doozy.
Oh, it's a good tease.
Well, that's one you can talk about.
Yeah.
Rundown, we'll do it at noon?
Yeah, we'll probably do it at noon.
Yeah, because I have not even heard about this story. I'm interested.
Yeah, and it is going to require some explaining, and there's no question.
All right.
So let's take a break.
She's not losing games. I had to look at the record when I saw the question.
It's not about the game. Okay. It ain't about that. It's definitely off the court. So we'll get into that a little bit later here on the show. Jessica Benson, when we get back. Jason and John, Eddie Turner, FM, ESPN.
Football's fast approaching. It's time to get in on the action early this season with FanDuel Sportsbook. What are your favorite futures, NFL future bets? The Titans going to go over on their win total. Who you like in the NFC East? What about them Chicago Bears? At FanDuel, you've got all that and tons of different player props, passing yards, TDs, rushing, receiving totals, and more. Also great team markets like to make the playoffs, win the division, Super Bowl matchups, and you can parlay together different picks for even bigger payouts, turn a couple of bucks into a tank of gas. Plus, right now, you new customers, you can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official sports betting partner of the NFL. Again, just visit FanDuel.com/JSmith to sign up today ahead of the football season. You'll get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. It's only on FanDuel Sportsbook, official partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
889-979.
Jessica Benson is the host of the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media, part of the Grizz Radio Network during the season, which can't get here soon enough. Nice enough to join us every Tuesday. She joins us now. Okay, the Olympics are officially over. Which means you got to get back to your regular life, right? Back to reality.
I'm depressed.
Let's power rank. Let's do the Jessica Benson power rankings off the top of your head, off the top of the dome. You didn't even know I was going here.
Okay,
3-2-1 in order from 3-1 best moments.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Okay. Best moments. Can I combine men's and women's basketball both beating France since they beat the same opponent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thanks. So we'll take the Steph Curry night-night moment blended with Gabby Williams' foot being inside the line to secure the United States of America still being the dominant country in basketball, even if the world is perceived as catching up based on how everything went. So I'll put that on my list. I'll put Simone Biles and her comeback and the all-around gold and the Team USA gold with Simone and everything that came with that. But then this is where it gets tricky for me because I still love to put the nod towards Katie Ledecky in the pool. But I think this was track and field's year. It was their best year as a team since 1984. Yep, yep. And I'm gonna take the Sha'Carri stare down because I love a good comeback story. So Putting her in the track and field space with the stare down, particularly when it was in slow motion on the relay gold for the U.S. women. You could take any of those women, obviously, Sydney, McLaughlin, Lavroni is the queen of the track as well. But just also shout out the women who saved the U.S. from losing to dreaded other countries.
Are you in the
South?
I think your list is good. I do wonder, because I didn't hear, are you in the same boat with us that we want to love Noah Lyles, the 100-meter champion? He's the fastest man in the world. You win the 100. It had been a while for the Americans, but that he makes it hard to do.
Yes. Yeah, he does make it hard to do. I can understand how he is not universally beloved, right?
Yeah.
I do think that he was incredibly effective. If his primary goal was, I want as many people to know my name coming out of this Olympics as possible, then that has been achieved. And I read this great piece on him in GQ from earlier this year, talking about just that and wanting to elevate track and field into, you know, a higher notability level amongst the sports that we care about here. I know he's on that Netflix show Sprint, which is done by the same people who did Drive to Survive, which really increased the profile of F1 racing, Formula One. So I think, like, mission accomplished if you're Noah Lyles, but then to some degree at what cost? Because even, you know, I turned my attention after the Olympics ended, I dove straight into like 5 hours of fantasy football research yesterday afternoon, which included stumbling on the interview of Tyreek Hill being asked about Noah Lyles, saying that, you know, I think similar to the same breadth of NBA players shouldn't be able to call themselves world champions, putting same energy towards football. I don't know. He can't stop with that side of the equation. And next thing you know, Tyreek Hill is out here like making fun of Noah Lyles for essentially like doing all his antics before and then getting in the wheelchair and the COVID diagnosis and having to have an excuse for not winning the 200. And Tyreek Hill is saying, like, I'm going to beat him and then I'm going to put on a COVID mask and make fun of him. So, you know, like, he made it difficult. Everyone's going to punk on him for the rest of time, other than Noah Lyles himself, who will continue to think he is the best of all time.
I will say it's gotten a little ridiculous. I saw Tyreek Hill yesterday say that he believes he could. Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, I just, it has gotten ridiculous because that would like, you, maybe if Tyreek Hill lost like 30 to 40 pounds and trained for a year, but like, let's not let our disdain for the guy
is different than track than like 100 meter dash fast.
Yeah, let's not let our disdain for the guy make us, you know, blind here. There's no question about it. And then, you know, our ladies. Our ladies got a very dramatic win. Does it make it sweeter if it's dramatic in basketball?
I think it just makes it more memorable. And it makes it so that everybody had to watch the whole game. Like, you couldn't tap out on a Sunday morning and say, oh, the Olympics are over, I can carry on with the rest of my day until, you know, if you're a psycho like me and wanted to sit down and watch the 3-hour closing ceremonies, then that was on your schedule. But other than that, if, you know, if U.S. had been up 20 at half, I'm not sure people are staying to watch the medal ceremony, which does ultimately make it sweeter because then, you know, I was engaged in the medal ceremony and watching Diana Taurasi become the most decorated Olympian in team sport history and watching Brittany Griner get a gold medal after everything that she went through and watching that USA basketball team some way, somehow, despite playing a truly horrific game on Sunday, still come out on top and get the win and get their 8th straight gold.
Yeah, like, I think I've definitely changed my view of things like that over the years. Like, I would rather win a game by 40 and never remember anything about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just know
like
that
the comfort of it, like a comfort win.
Yeah, like, I would just rather win by 40 than it, like, be a walk-off game winner. Like, I don't, because it could go against you. You know, I don't even want to play with it. I want to win by, like, whether it's my football team, whether it's my basketball team. I want there to be absolutely zero drama within the last, you know, 5 minutes of the game where I can comfortably just, like, savor it. You know what I mean? You don't have a chance to savor it when it's dramatic. Your heart is racing the whole time and you're nervous.
Yeah. Well, and that's even how I felt watching going into the women's game. Like, I woke up fully expecting, you know, okay, this is the moment. We're going to end with a women's gold, which is such a testament to how the women have been so dominant on the Olympic stage for the USA. And also this team is about to win their 8th straight gold, making them the most, you know, dominant team in Olympic history of any sport. And then to have to be in, like, a complete nail biter to the point where Diana Taurasi's on the bench, doesn't play. I thought she was going to get to have her hero moment where she's in down the stretch, maybe gets to take a three, make a three, end it where she actually had a contribution to the final game of her Olympic career. And instead, like, she can't touch the floor because you actually need to win the game.
You know, it felt like, too, that Paris was a big part of why we were watching and just sort of the scenes and the sights of that. And, I, you know, whether it was Jarvo, I think Kelly Cook from Channel 5 felt like a bunch of Memphians had gone on to make the trip to Trek just because it's Paris. Does any part of you, and you talked about watching the closing ceremonies, and we all talked about the opening ceremonies, does any part of you think that L.A. will have, you know, an issue topping what Paris did from a presentation standpoint? What do you think? You think it'll be hard to top? Do you think it'll be hard to top?
We're going to be so obnoxious.
So do we go overboard?
In the world.
Yeah, I wonder if it's cringe that we go so far in trying to top Paris.
Right, but can we cringe ourselves? Like, we're so self-obsessed sometimes as a country. Will it come off to us as, wow, this is why we are the best versus the rest of the world who will look onward and be like, oh, that's so American. Because that's what they do anyway. They turn their noses up at us.
Right.
God,
and did you see
those stupid Americans?
And to this point, and I'm just going to say it because I'd actually talked about it at the BET Awards and kind of talking about it there. But did you see in the handoff to L.A., right, we get Snoop and Dre, and that is great. But when we get Snoop, we have to get the twerker. We had to get the twerker with it. And I'm thinking to myself,
that's great American culture.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the world is watching, and we got a lot of great things about American culture, and we got Snoop and we got Dre out there, and so you're sort of representing that. Did we need to show them the twerking? But it has become, yes, oh my gosh, it is everywhere you look right now, including in our presentation, in the hand, in the taking of the baton.
It's true. It is everywhere. I do love a drop it like it's hot moment to kick off the LA Olympics.
Yep.
Okay, but then, like, we'll even expand on that argument with our obsession with Tom Cruise, who in his personal life has a lot of very weird things.
Weirdo.
We'll just, like, leave it at that. He's weird. But, man, when that guy does stunts, we completely turn our brain off and we're like, holy crap, Tom Cruise is the greatest American. Like, this man is jumping out of planes and jumping off the building in Paris and somehow riding a motorcycle and getting from Paris to L.A. and movie magic time flat. So we do, I think we're just going to do heavy dosage of celebrity culture, especially because it's Los Angeles. But it's been effective. Like, I went to LA28.org and signed up for notifications to figure out how to know when tickets are available, and I've already texted my friends there and asked if I can call dibs on a bedroom. It feels like it's going to be the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
If you're here, it will be a heavy dose of, like, if you're in America, you want to be at the games.
Yeah, I've never been to L.A. It's one of the things I've...
Really?
Yeah, I missed it. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a little nervous about it. I don't know how to... I feel like that's one where you got to kind of know somebody there. To get around.
Yes and no. I don't know. I love L.A. Like, I never imagined loving L.A. and then going to school there for 4 years. Like, I just appreciate kind of the variety of experiences that you can get there. I think some people are very turned off by the Hollywood culture and kind of the status-y nature of it all. But one of the things I miss the most about L.A. is just the natural beauty and the outdoorsy things you can do. And of course that's in the beach, but mountains are relatively close and a lot of great hiking and just great outdoors opportunities, which I think will be kind of featured within the Olympics. I'm sure that they will use many, many shots of the beach as they did in the closing ceremonies with the performance in Santa Monica. But if you ever want to go, I'll get you an itinerary set up for your LA adventure. You got to take got to take the kids to Disneyland.
No, I mean, it's definitely, like, I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about this. I do want to go to a Summer Olympics. Like, it looked like so much fun. And it's just one of those things where, like, I know it's going to cost a lot of money. I know it's going to, like, but you just chalk that up. But I'm wondering, I don't know if L.A. is that one for me. I think I'd rather make it somewhere different. I'd rather, like, go out, give me an excuse to see another country or something, you know, rather than...
I always wish... I know the Summer Olympics always hold so much more weight, but when I was a kid, the Winter Olympics were in Salt Lake City, and I grew up in Colorado, and I remember the flame came through my hometown. Like, one of the stops that they were running through was our main little... road. And so everybody lined up and watched the flame run through. And I always ask my parents, I'm like, why didn't we go to Salt Lake City? Like, we could drive to Salt Lake City and have gone to the Olympics. And they said, what you said, like, it's so expensive. And it just, things all add up and it becomes really hard to figure out the logistics of where to stay and how to travel and how to get the tickets. But I do think even just being in the city where the Olympics are, I had a couple friends who went to Paris for these Olympics, and they had tickets for some days, and other days they just went to cafes and bars and watched with fans from other countries, and they said that was just as much fun as being in the venues themselves.
Yep, I'm very jealous of Jarbo and his lovely wife, the fact that and everybody that got to go over there and sort of celebrate that. I don't know if you've had time to see it, but the Athletic, David Aldridge, doesn't think much of Memphis's offseason. Mentions that he doesn't hate the Grizz, but has got them pretty lowly ranked. And we may revisit this. John may have wanted it to be a surprise to some people, but has got them at the bottom in terms of offseason rankings. I think actually, now that I mention it, weren't we mad at somebody giving them a C at some point in some other grading
process? Get mad.
So the idea that they had the worst offseason of any NBA team in the league, pretty crazy, right?
It was funny because I heard you talking about this in the first segment when I was driving home, and I was like, what did David Aldridge do? And so first I always go to Twitter and I search David Aldridge Grizzlies and nothing came up. And then I went to David Aldridge's page and he had nothing about the Grizzlies on his recent tweets. He was tweeting about Steph Curry and the Olympics and all the greatness there. And then I went to The Athletic because that's where his writing goes. And I found that article and I saw it and I said, I bet he has the Grizzlies with the worst offseason. And sure enough, he did. But like you said, he said, I don't hate the Grizzlies. And he emphasized it. He said it twice. I don't hate the Grizzlies. It's just a commentary on specifically teams who had the best offseason. And I guess in his perspective, the best offseason, if you did little to nothing, doesn't rank you very high. I go the opposite route, and I think we have to figure out a way to change the trajectory conversation where the offseason that sure includes, you know, Zach Edey and re-signing Luke Kennard and the other picks that you got in this year's draft and Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer, that's good, that's great. The offseason is the return of John Morant, which I don't think it's unfair to bill it as such, as your season last year was entirely not indicative of who you are as a team going forward, as long as, cross your fingers, knock on wood, health is in play. So you get Ja back, you get Desmond Bane back at full strength, and suddenly you have Ja, Des, Jaren Jackson Jr., and the rest of the team built around them. And I think that's a very successful offseason. Like, every highlight I see of Ja Morant, you know, playing basketball again, playing 5-on-5, his team keeps putting out various videos, like, that's what the offseason means to me. It's like, cool, great, he's on track, and that means nothing but good things for the Grizzlies if he's on the court.
I would also add to everything that you just laid out, and I agree with everything that you just said, probably the idea, and I'm thinking about Dallas last year, but you've set yourself up too, and yeah, sure, you can make the argument, well, they didn't make the big move, they didn't make the big trade. I set that to the side. I was one of those guys that wanted to go all in, but the way they've set themselves up now, where they're right there, you know, whether it's the tax line right underneath it, I'm assuming they've approached this where they intend to be underneath it. You have all of your picks, and you could pull potentially or theoretically a Dallas-type move at the trade deadline if it's not working, because you've got the flexibility to do so, and that should be factored into offseason.
1,000%. So it keeps your options available at the deadline. And you, because you use the Mavs as an example, they're the team that made the final from the Western Conference. Yep. Like, that plan worked out well for them. And if you are, you know, looking around the league and trying to see actual tangible results of somebody who did it that way. You have one just a year ago. Exactly. So it gives you the freedom and flexibility to see what you have the first portion of the season, and then you readjust if necessary. And maybe you don't have to readjust, and you save it for the next off season. Yep. But needless to say, we're going to continue to see the Grizzlies disrespected in grades and charts and rankings. And I think, you know, that's just kind of become an expectation, and then it will be up to the team to make everybody look really silly by the time we're, you know, halfway through next year.
Talking to Jessica Benson from Grind City Media and the Grizz Radio Network. Preston Chua is in Zambia, and he is walking lions.
He is walking lions.
That's living
on a leash. I mean, okay. Is that something that you could see yourself doing someday?
I'd be like, oh, what cute kitties. They're so sweet. I don't think I would walk lions. I'm more adventurous than I give myself credit for, but that feels like you're too at risk of one of those lions getting real angry at you.
This is pretty insane. They're not like a clause in his contract. Like, you're not allowed to walk lions. You know what I'm saying?
We don't see people with a lion. The guy in Vegas,
that's what I was just thinking.
Who are we talking about?
Thing dang near killed him. Which one was it, Jess? Now that day,
I'm in the same boat. Never remember.
I think that's the average American. We don't know which one it was. It was just Siegfried and Roy. One of them got disfigured.
Remember Harambe?
Was that the name of the cat?
No, Harambe was the gorilla.
It was the gorilla.
Yeah, the little child got fell in the exhibit. Right?
Oh, I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was a child. I don't remember. But they killed Harambe.
Now, we have officially lost both Siegfried and Roy for those average Americans.
It appears Roy was the one who was attacked.
Mangled
by his lion. But then I remember he was very... He was like obsessed with telling people that the cat was actually trying to protect him.
Yep.
Right? Like, he had had some sort of medical event.
So they could continue to perform? I mean, right? Yeah, so you keep the business going, right?
I think so. Yeah. He's a real one. Like, he was protecting a member of the team. That's a great teammate right there.
Now, I will say this. They had to do what they had to do on Harambe. I mean, he starts dragging the kid around the display. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that the kid got in there. It is, but
I forgot about Harambe.
That was horrible.
It was.
I mean, I'm not saying that Harambe deserved to die, but he's a 440-pound silverback gorilla, and there's a 3-year-old.
Yeah, but didn't the kid like jump into Where were the parents?
I mean, look, I agree, but somebody in that exhibit was going to die. Harambe or the child.
The child lived, right?
He did. The child, but he was not. Going to, you know, I mean,
we don't know that. What if Harambe had handed him back?
You know, everybody always says man or bear. How about gorilla or bear? Now make a choice, because it ain't so easy. It ain't so easy anymore.
Yeah, it's real easy when we have to pick the man.
Right.
As a woman.
I mean, we
now
get
I have it. Now
men,
I have an actual. Man
just been getting run all over all summer. now we probably deserve it.
Well. I think I'd pick Gorilla. I wanted to be Jane Goodall when I was a kid.
Okay.
And work with the monkeys. Awesome. Yeah,
we'll have a tribute for you at the Memphis Zoo. It'll say, this was in honor of Jessica Benson.
Are you a zoo goer, Jess?
She picked the gorilla.
Are you a big zoo
Every
goer?
Every time I go to the zoo, I have a great time, but I do not go nearly enough. I will stamp this forever. I think Memphis has one of the best zoos in the country.
Yep.
I have lived amongst a lot of zoos, and the Memphis Zoo is legitimately one of the best. It is really well like laid out, where it's easy to walk around, it's easy to get from exhibit to exhibit, and they have great exhibits. It's a great zoo. Everyone should go to the zoo.
Yeah, it is fun. And I think we're the only family of four in Memphis that doesn't actually have the membership, that prefers to just pay as we go, and I get angry at my wife every time it happens.
Can you go for free on one day? Is that still a thing?
I think it's Tuesdays, right?
Yeah.
Y'all know, Newsweek just announced its ranking of top 10 zoos in the United States, and that the Memphis Zoo is number 2.
Really?
Oh, number two. Number one? Who are we coming for?
North Carolina Zoo in Asheboro,
what?
North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. San Antonio 3, Brookfield Zoo, which I've been to in Chicago. Then the Denver Zoo Conservation Alliance.
I love the Denver Zoo.
Denver
that's,
is
that's
the
your top
so
five.
Would you, but you, you're,
St.
You would
Louis,
know,
number 9.
Is Memphis Zoo better than Denver Zoo?
Yes, and the Denver Zoo isn't my favorite zoo in Colorado. My favorite zoo in Colorado is the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo in Colorado Springs, which is situated like right at the base of the mountains. It's the superior zoo if you're going to that area.
Okay.
Wow. I'm surprised the San Diego Zoo has fallen off. What's happened to them? Who's in charge?
It's number 7, but you're right. I'm usually used to seeing it higher on list. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yep. I feel like
Who's
St. Louis Zoo
San Diego
is
zoo?
Usually higher too, but... proud.
I've heard good things about that zoo.
Proud of our zoo, number 2 in the country.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
That is worthy.
It
we
really
need to
is.
Sing the people always say there's nothing good is happening in Memphis. We have the number 2 zoo in the country.
If we ever lose the zoo, that'll be the last straw for me. I mean,
I would be devastated. I would be so devastated.
There's no doubt. Jessica, you're the best. Thanks for the
Thank
time.
Thank you
as
so
always.
Much, Jimmy.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Here's Jessica Benson, Grind City Media. Grizz Radio Network.
Weren't you just kind of dogging it a few weeks back?
I was not.
Because I remember
it.
When I saw this ranking, I wanted to bring it to your attention.
I was not dogging the Memphis Zoo. I was dogging the. There was something. I was. There was some part of it. Some part of the entire ordeal that I was dogging. It was definitely not the quality of the Memphis Zoo. I would never do that. That is sacred. Sacred ground.
Well, this should put you over the top in terms of your decision making on getting the membership, mm-hmm. right? This news that it's number 2 in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's
especially with 2 young ones, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why
you guys
we
are
don't
be
have
going,
a membership.
You're going to be going
I mean,
a lot.
I just continue to, you know,
that and the children's
admonish
museum.
My wife for that.
I
just don't really know why we don't have that.
Really don't understand not having one to the children's
we
museum.
We got one of those.
Okay, you
did
do that.
Those,
you got a family pass.
I think so. It's in my wallet.
Well, yeah, these are things that you need to know.
Although, you know, the thing about the children's museum, bro, I was like, you know, once you seen it all,
but it's different as she grows up, and then you age out, and then you age out.
Yeah,
but they've added some new stuff over there, kind of as Chris was aging out. That I think you'll enjoy. There's some water features now.
You know what I haven't been to in a long time that I'd like to go to is the Pink Palace.
I have not been in a long time.
I mean, that is where we got to go.
It's another good. I feel like Brad was there last week.
Were you there last week, Brad, at the Pink Palace?
It has a new name, y'all.
Does it even exist anymore?
Yeah,
that's
it
what
exists.
I wondered when you said that. Well, what's he talking
about? It's called the Museum of Science History, MOSH, formerly the Pink Palace Museum.
Well, it's
my son volunteered there earlier in the spring.
Yeah, you can't.
That's why he was looking at us like we don't know what we're talking about.
You can't ask me to call it anything
Thank you,
other
Brad.
Than
No, it's rebranded because they have the
Thank
IMAX.
You.
They have several exhibits.
Right.
They do stuff for volunteer
yes.
groups.
So
and it's
updated.
A lot of science. It's now the Museum of Science, MOSH. You'll see those M little O S H, formerly Pink Palace. 4 stars on TripAdvisor.
What is on up right there on Central, right?
Yeah, same place. It's formerly known as the Pink Palace Museum and Planetarium. Well, it's now Museum of Science History.
How do you call it? MOSH?
MOSH. Museum of, little O,
Got
Science
it. Got
History.
It. Got it. MOSH. Okay.
Science History.
I don't think my kid would like that yet. But I would enjoy it.
Yeah. The IMAX
so,
is great.
Like, I would like to go, like, you know, just, you know, use it as an excuse.
The IMAX, the part, though, your kid would probably like that.
I remember.
And I'm sure there are parts in there.
Do you remember the planetarium?
Oh, yeah, dude.
That was the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you looked up and you saw, like, all the stuff.
I don't think I went ever other than field trips.
Exactly.
Like, you never went on your own.
Exactly. But it was, you know, it was pretty nice.
But you had a good time there. Yeah.
And the University of Memphis.
I hadn't been
I think the University of Memphis, I want to say, has, like, an Egyptian museum. I want to say they have some stuff there. I don't know.
I'm sure if anybody is listening from over there, they'll let you know.
I don't know.
I feel guilty that I didn't know Pink Palace had changed its name.
They have the Art Museum of the University of Memphis over there, AMOM.
Okay.
They always have exhibits come through.
It has 250. It has an exhibition with 250 ancient Egyptian objects as part of that art piece project.
That's it. That's it.
Also worthy. I've been there, too.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I had to, you know, when I was a student there, I had to do like a, you know, a thing on that.
The little kids also love the fire museum downtown. Did you ever take the kids there? When they're little, it's fun because if your kid is like your boy's going to be into fire trucks inevitably.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know if Chris did that or not.
I missed that one too.
Well, Riley bought a firefighter outfit yesterday at Costco, so she will be into it.
Jake actually dressed up as a fire truck one year. We went to that fire museum in Memphis. 4.5 stars on TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
These are great Memphis spots that don't get talked about.
You don't talk about these.
There you go.
What a great segment. Ones, but these are kids.
Holy cow. Yeah, she's decked out.
Yeah, we got the Costco fire.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a great costume.
You can do that at the Children's Museum.
Oh, that's
too.
Authentic as hell.
That's not even we just bought that for no reason. You know, that's not her Halloween costume or anything.
That's a nice one.
It's very nice. She's got the whistle. She's got the hatchet, you know. I mean, she's got...
It's good to be a Martin.
Man,
bro.
Because I'm not authorizing these purchases. That's for damn sure. I don't know what it is. Sam gets out of the classroom. She loses her religion over there. But we got a lot of stuff for kids to do, I will say, man. And I got to get back to the Pink Palace. I don't remember a ton other than the planetarium.
Civil Rights Museum, obviously, is a big one.
Right. Yeah,
it's not talked about enough sometimes.
Very important.
Yep. Well, I think I'll maybe take you there. I'll probably take you to the Civil Rights Museum. Me and you can go.
You need to go by yourself.
No,
and
we need.
Sit in there
I think I think we need to go. Maybe I take you.
No, I don't go with you. We'll take young Dom.
Well, why won't you go with me? I mean, I think that's a perfect thing to do.
You're not taking me, fool.
No, I think you need to go.
No, I take my son down there. We've talked about it and the importance. And my son actually spent time at the exhibits and actually learned. I need you to go down there and learn.
Bro, it's an eye-opener for little kids who grew up sheltered. You got to take them there because they sit in that, but you see it, you live it.
Nike does, separate from that, Nike does too. I want to say it's like a 3K or a 2.5K. Anyway, they're run for kids. They did it out of the National Civil Rights Museum last September. I think it'll be coming up again, but do a good job of sort of you're not just here for a run, stay in shape like they're always trying to sell to kids, but more importantly, like the history of the place that you're doing it at here. They do a great job with that over there that Nike did last September. I believe it's going to be going on again. Chris ran it last year, did a good job. His first little, you know, little whatever you call those things, 2.5K. This was for kids.
Yeah.
But it was down there, and they made a point to try to make these kids understand the history of where you are here. You're not just downtown or you run around any old city block.
When I was in New York, while we're just on the subject, I did the Smithsonian.
What'd you think?
I mean, it was massive. I mean, you know, you just can't believe, you're almost overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah, a lot of material.
You see the T-Rex, right? That's the big thing.
Yeah.
Like the T-Rex. But I don't believe it's actual T-Rex bones. I don't believe that is I thought it was, but it's not.
Well, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, but I think I was really stupid to believe that it was in the first place.
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, I don't think we have those, do we? I think we have like little fossils. I don't think we have like the whole construction of the damn thing on display.
I figure we got pretty close to a whole thing somewhere, and then like maybe that had been shipped to the Smithsonian.
So
I think I'd have been like you and expected it to be.
I did.
What is it? Steel plates or something?
It's a replica.
You sound like you looked into it. Yeah, because
I think it tells you. I think it tells you that it's you know. I mean, it's obviously
makes it less impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the scale of it is what you sort of pick up. You're like, oh my god,
right? Look like Zach Eady.
I mean, it's life. I mean, it's like the size, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, like it's the size of the damn thing. So
is the one in Chicago authentic? If you go into the
I swear some of them are.
Natural History Museum Chicago, I think is authentic. John.
I can't remember being disappointed too many, I want to say you're right
coming in.
Yeah.
And the one in D.C., I remember, I think it's also authentic.
I mean, again, maybe I'm wrong and it was, but I just remember coming away like this wasn't the real thing.
Huh.
And so I'm a little.
And that was your biggest takeaway. This was the Museum of Natural History or something that you were at? Something along those Smithsonian, you said.
Yeah.
Okay. And your big takeaway was that the bones were fake.
Yes. That's right. That's what, I mean, I wanted it to be the real thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind. I don't fault
like,
you for
like,
that.
Like, you know.
You got to been disappointed, too.
Like X-Files, you know. Like, I need to know that
now
they're
out
there.
Now, you just think we just got a bunch of little bitty fossils around here in America that we don't have enough, a full-sized, where we've put it together? We got plenty of that, bro. We found huge bones all over this country.
All right, so in 1988, I'm looking this up now. In 1988, Kathy Wankel made an unusual and extremely valuable find on a family camping trip in Montana.
There we go.
That's where it starts.
A bone sticking out of the ground turned out to be part of the fossilized skeleton of a T-Rex.
Yep. Old Kathy found it.
The entire skeleton was excavated and displayed at the Museum of the Rockies. In 2013, it was prepared for its journey to D.C., where it is on loan. So it's in D.C.
That's the one you mentioned.
That's the one I saw.
You said D.C.?
Yeah.
You said Chicago and D.C. you thought were real.
I thought it looked
real. It is not. So that one is.
So the D.C. one is real.
But the one in New York is not.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's obvious.
It confirms what you said and what Brad said.
So, okay. So you got to
have it.
You got to go to the D.C. one if you want to see the real
but
thing.
But what's opened your eyes is that we've got full-scale fossils.
Yeah, I didn't know we had them.
Enough to do to put it together.
I mean, you'd think it would go to New York City.
Yeah.
You'd think that. I mean, but what do I know? I mean, that's where I'd put it. Anyway.
Appreciate you, Indiana.
Yeah, we got a lot of Montana. Oh, you're saying I'm Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Oh, I got. Yeah, I am over here. What was your favorite of the series?
Temple of Doom.
Okay, is that the first one?
I think so.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones Temple of Doom.
They got a remake.
When they had a little short round, the little short Asian dude that was always with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure it was that.
Oh, they had a they did have a reboot. I guess you didn't.
No, because
not same.
I didn't. And I watched them all, even the Sean Connery one.
Right.
I didn't go. And I probably will catch it at the house.
Yeah. So there you have it. By the way, Sue is the name of the dinosaur. Sue.
Thanks.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
As in, touch me, I'll sue.
Not the most impressive museum in D.C., by the way. The one that was most impressive cost a little money. It wasn't a Smithsonian. Museum of the Bible. If you're ever in D.C., while we're just real quick, side note, because I know a lot of people do these travels, fall break, whatever. If you go to D.C., pay the money to go to the Bible Museum. Ridiculous. Amazing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.